Welcome back to the Toy Story commentary. What you want to do is move the video to the point where Hannah says never mind after Buzz breaks his arm. And when I say play, click play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play.
Seems Woody is in a lot of pain in this movie. I guess it's just comic relief or something. Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, doesn't really get old.
Do you know if Hannah's based off anyone at Pixar? Anyone's a girl?
Not
It'd
that I know.
It'd be very annoying if she was. I think the Mrs. Nesbitt thing's from somewhere as well. I honestly can't remember, but... I think that's...
Yeah, it's from some movie or book.
I think it's, you know, Pete Doctor, apparently. He's one of his grade school teachers or something. Something to do with one of his teachers.
I thought Mrs. Yeah, maybe. I was thinking of the other reference when he says Marie Antoinette.
I never knew what Darjeeling was. Sorry.
When
Woody
dolls
yells,
have their heads cut off, probably by Sid.
Yeah. I feel so sorry for Hannah because she ends up having to play with decapitated toys because of Sid.
A few moments ago, when Woody like yells for Hannah, I was really confused about that a while ago because if the people can actually hear the toys talk and stuff, then I mean in reality. They'd be found out pretty fast.
Yeah.
I think I look into it too much. But, like, if Andy's mom was walking by the room, she could probably hear all that noise and stuff. But, whatever, it's a movie.
Especially if they're having a meeting in the room and Woody's using the microphone, you think she would hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I never remembered, you know, at the beginning of the film when they say kind of what the presents are. And I think they do mention that that Andy gets a battleship toy. I always forget that.
Yeah.
I never actually made that connection.
Yeah, I didn't till last time I saw it.
And for the list of things, the potato head's really failing. With all those misses.
I love the detail on the wood, too. They do really good with wooden items.
Yeah, they do.
I like how Slinky's actually kind of Woody's best friend in a way. I don't know, he seems closer to Woody than the others are.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would, he's the only one really who would trust Woody. But even, I think, as the next part shows, that even Slinky abandons Woody. It's sad.
It's actually something quite harsh about how the other toys treat Woody in a way.
Yeah, for toys that have supposedly been together for a long time, they're pretty quick to sort of disown him.
Yeah.
I think probably in a way they were quite jealous of him for a long time. So they don't mind kind of, you know, seeing it go the other way around, and now they're more the focus of attention.
Yeah. Haven't really thought of that, but they could have been. What's everyone's favorite mutant toy?
I think my favorite's Babyface.
I love legs. No idea why, it's just, it makes me
quite like, Ducky, I think, the little duck one.
Oh yeah, he's really cute.
I like the one with the insect head, just because it's so weird.
Really reminds me of that, Adult Swim show, sorry.
I like, the one on the roller, the one that switches off the torch, the flashlight that Woody's holding. I just think it's really funny.
I wonder why the mutant toys can't actually speak.
Maybe being
Well, maybe some of them have their faces ripped off, and because Jack in the Box doesn't have a mouth.
It could be because, to sort of show that the difference between Andy's toys and the mutant toys are sort of one level below, below the other toys. And, but they're pretty intelligent because of the plan that they go along with. So I don't think it's got to do with intelligence, but yeah, that's a really good point.
I love the sign behind Sid. It says Megadork. I think that's a reference to the and Megadeth.
I thought it was a reference to Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, maybe that too.
I like it how Andy's sleeping with holding the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Fingerprint
line
is coming up in a couple of minutes. Yeah. But I think it's somewhere here on one of the toolboxes. It says Binford Tools, and that's a reference to an old Tim Allen, the voice of Buzz Lightyear. It's a show he did called Home Improvement, and in the show, he had his own TV show, and Binford Tools is one of the sponsors of that show. And it's a pretty, I like that inside joke. It's pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure that when Pixar were hiring Tim Allen and also Tom Hanks, I read this a while ago, but they hired them just before they got famous, because obviously they have to do the voice work a couple of years in advance before the movie comes out. They were lucky enough to hire them just before they got really, really famous. So then they hired them before they were famous, and then the movie comes out, and they were two of the biggest stars around. So Home Improvement was pretty popular back then, so that was pretty lucky for Pixar.
Yeah.
Well, they were going to hire Paul Newman and Billy Crystal, but I guess their budget wasn't high enough, so they had to stick with Tim Allen and Tom Hanks.
Which is probably a good thing in the end, really. You can't really see Billy Crystal as Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, that would be a little weird.
I think Billy Crystal said that after he saw the finished product, he thought he was happy with it. He didn't think it would have been changed. It should have been changed.
But also that he kind of regretted not, you know, participating in a Pixar film.
So he just waited a few years and jumped on with Monsters, Inc.?
I just love that line there when Woody pulls it, there's a snake in my boot. It was just like, that just showed probably the lamest line he's got.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meant to be a sad moment, but I just find that funny.
And the juxtaposition of the weather change as well, that's quite cool. The way they use the weather as a kind of mood identifier.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pixar are always pretty good with their lighting department. I mean, yeah, probably the best in the business.
Watch out. Here it comes. I love that line. I want to ride the pony.
And also, I like that because it just sort of shows that underneath Sid's just a normal boy. And before, he also says, his mum said, Sid's, your Pop-Tarts are ready. And then he's like, oh, cool. And he goes off and runs off to have his breakfast. It's just really funny.
I think that's probably one of the best things about almost all Pixar films, the fact that they have, you know, villains, but not, you know, they have their reasons for doing what they do. And I think, you know, anybody watching this film could see that Sid isn't a really evil person. He's just maybe a bit messed up, but...
Yeah, I think it would be a bit two-dimensional to have just an evil villain just for the sake of it. But also the reasoning why is... Yeah, just adds to the depth of story and the depth of character.
Yeah.
Also to break the Disney mold, I guess, because that's what Toy Story does, where it kind of changes everything. You know, all the fairy tale stories that Disney used to tell, which are very good, but, you know, Pixar, I guess, wanted to do something really, really different.
Yeah.
You guys all know that Woody is the leader for Andy's room, right? Which mutant toy would be the leader for Sid's room?
Definitely be the head on the head, the head with the claws.
Babyface?
Babyface, yes.
Obviously. I really don't see any of them as a leader. I just think they're all sort of misfits, but they're all together. Yeah. I really like this music here. I think it was based on The Great Escape, but I've never seen that movie. But I just really like it. It's probably one of my favourite tracks in the soundtrack, just because it represents everyone working together and getting things done. And I just really like that sort of music.
Yeah, it's really fitting.
I wonder if
it's a bit quirky.
I wonder if Pixar designed the mutant toys after they'd planned how they would escape, or before, because everyone seems to have their own roles, and sort of it all fits together really well.
That's a good question, actually.
Yeah, Ducky would have to be my second favourite mutant toy, just because of the voice work by Gary Rydstrom. I think it was Gary Rydstrom. I hope it was, and not Ben Burtt. But, yeah, it's really cute.
this is like my 15th time. Oh no, I've seen this movie so many times, but now I'm just realizing a lot of things I never noticed before, like that picture on the wall. It doesn't make any sense. It's just some lady.
Oh yeah.
I just said, "Mom."
It's the exact same thing. I was actually looking at.
There was a lamp. It looked like a lamp, and it was like a bundle of grapes. I never noticed that.
Yeah, I looked at that picture and I was like, "What the heck is that?" I didn't think anyone else would notice it though.
If you turn up the volume and if you listen close enough, you can hear Sid at some point here. You can hear all the everything he says, like his whole speech and whatever. If I was I would have said that a little sooner, because he was like right next to it.
Yeah.
Well, really, by all accounts, he should have lit, because he did touch it, but.
Yeah, it seemed a bit close to me as well.
To create dramatic tension.
This was kind of creepy to me when I first saw it, because it was around the same time I watched those Child's Play movies with Chucky, and it really creeped me out.
That truck coming out the sand, definitely. I don't know why, but...
Well, at least one of the little green men survived, even though the other one got eaten by Scud.
Well, maybe that little green man was the one that got eaten by Scud. Maybe Scud didn't eat him. Mm-hmm. Maybe just got tossed around.
Yeah, I think he only got one little alien toy.
I just like all of the toys dancing and everything, and then the army guy just falls over.
As if he wasn't messed up enough now.
Did that license plate say Montana? Or was it just me? Oh, no. Minivan. Never mind.
So after Sid had the scare of his life, what do you think he did with all the mutant toys?
Probably threw them out or something.
That's what I would have done.
But then at the same time, you'd want to treat them nicely.
They should bring the mutant toys back in Toy Story 3 or something, so we know that... I guess we do know they're okay.
Okay, so either the van is moving slow, or Woody and Buzz are running really fast.
I remember reading about some kind of alternative ending where something to do with Barbie rescuing Woody and Buzz instead of RC, but something about how they couldn't actually use Barbie in the end because, I think it's Mattel, they pulled out because they were worried that Toy Story might not do very well, and that, you know, it would reflect badly on the Barbie brand. So Pixar had to remove that from the final ending of the story.
I think Pixar are also pretty big on having female characters and the male characters, their roles, traditional roles reversed, which is why at the end of Toy Story 2 you've got Jessie rescuing Woody. So they could switch that around. I guess that was taken from the supposed alternate ending of this movie. But I guess RC sort of makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one thing I really like about Pixar movies. They always have really strong female characters.
Yeah, I suppose not in Toy Story so much. I mean, Bo Peep isn't that much of a strong character, but I mean,
yeah, in the other movies,
Toy Story
though.
Makes up for it. Yeah, and The Incredibles and Wall-E.
I love how RC spins round as Woody's being spun around, even though obviously he isn't actually turning the wheel, so he wouldn't spin. But
looks good though.
Jump as well. Launches himself onto Woody. They burst up in the air.
The name of the shop on the top left, there was House of Food, something's House of Food, very original.
That was Juju's House of Food. It's a reference to, I think, Julie McDonald, a Pixarian.
Yeah. And on she has another reference on Sid's backpack. It reads, Julie McBarfel has cooties. That's referenced to her.
Yeah. I like RC. He's so,
I do too.
I don't know, he's just really cute. And also, I think if you would stick Lenny, on the robot, you would end up with Wall-E. Lenny the binocular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the robot looks quite a bit like Wall-E, sort of.
Well, Wall-E's eyes were based off binoculars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Slinky. He's putting himself on the line.
That must feel so painful for Slinky.
I know, I feel so
also
bad
weird.
For him.
Little nod to the Lion King there with the Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
I think it was released in the same year or around that.
I think Lion King was released in 1994. I can't be sure, though.
Lucky nobody's sort of standing outside or, you know, going outside at this point. And
yeah.
Yeah, Pixar really like to psych their viewers out by making you think it's going to happen one way, but then it doesn't.
It's kind of ironic how Sid, who kind of, you know, did all the bad things in the film, actually ended up helping them in a way with the inspiration for using the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it all sort of worked out. She's nice.
I love the animation they did here with his face.
Oh, yeah, the G-force.
If I was driving one of those cars, I probably would have pinched myself.
I find it funny no one seemed to notice them.
Obviously strange things happen in that neighborhood.
I think this is pretty much an iconic moment right here for this film.
Yep.
I also love how it is different as well. You do think that they're going to go and try and get into the lorry. And Buzz's idea is just really
mm-hmm.
shows how much he's progressed over the film.
in this part here has to be, I mean, no matter how many times I see it, it always makes me happy.
Yeah.
It's just the music and everything when they go up and then they fly.
Mm.
And I like how Buzz says, this isn't flying, this is falling with style, because it shows, if you go back to when they're on the bed, Buzz was listening, and he was listening to what Woody said, and just how they bring that back, I mean, it just shows a lot about Buzz's character, that he really was listening to Woody at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I love his mom's obliviousness to everything.
Yeah.
Oh, children always lose toys all the time, you know.
Yeah. Nice Christmas ending. Probably one of the sweetest Pixar endings.
Good way to end it, too.
Yeah, it's sweet. I mean, you've got the beginning with the birthday and then the ending with the Christmas. It's really nice.
It makes you wonder how the heck did they get the walkie-talkie in the tree.
They have their ways.
And how can, again, how can the mom not hear it? Because it's right there.
It's all part of the magic of Pixar.
Especially if it's a two-way walkie-talkie. And also I like how in Andy's room at the end of the movie, it's got a good mix of cowboy things and spaceman things to sort of show that he loves them both equally now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys notice the pillow on Andy's bed, it's a horse. And I think it's Buzz Lightyear bed sheets. Or
yeah, that's nice. The mix of both. And that's Toy Story.
Yay!
Of course you're going to end with a classic Randy Newman song.
I'm resisting the urge to sing it.
You could.
Red and me.
I don't even know the lyrics very well.
Rubber head mountain.
This isn't one of Pixar's most extravagant credits, but still pretty good.
Yeah, I think the simplistic credits reflect really well on the simplicity of the story. So, would you guys say that Toy Story is your favorite Pixar film?
It's not my favorite, but I've definitely learned to appreciate it more the older I get, I think, because like I said earlier, when I first saw it again for a few years ago, it didn't really impress me that much, but now I really love this movie. I think it's great.
I think
for those
it
of
is-
you who know me long enough, you know that it's not my favorite Pixar movie, but like y'all said, this is, as you get older, you learn to appreciate it, you learn to love it, and it's one of the all-time classics, and I'm glad Pixar made it.
It's kind of sad, though, some kids that are, like, growing up now, they just, if they have, they never grew up with it, they probably won't appreciate it as much. That's usually the way things go, though.
I'd say it is actually my favorite, Pixar film. I don't know why, I think it just does, it sets the standard for the others, and although maybe technically, or maybe, you know, the story of some of the other films might be better, there's just something about this film that I can't put my finger on it that just makes it that much more special.
Yeah, I think it's also because all of us are sort of a similar age, and we grew up with it, which is why it's a bit more special for us. But I don't really know if I could call it my favourite Pixar film. I have a very hard time picking my favourite because they're all so good in their own way. They're not my favourite, but they're just different.
I often joke around that when someone asks you to choose your favourite Pixar film, it's like someone asking you to choose your favourite kid. You know, there's really no way you could choose. At least that's the way it is for me.
Yeah, me too.
I still think Toy Story's my favorite. I like how it says production babies as well before. That's quite funny.
Yeah, I like reading all the names there.
I think they do that with every Pixar movie.
Yeah, they do.
As far as I've noticed, anyway.
But they just put in the first name, not the last name, so I wonder, whose kid does that belong to?
So this has been our very first Pixar fan commentary from the Pixar Planet Forums group. And if you want to give any feedback, you can go to pixarplanet.com/forums. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
Take care, guys. Peace out.